When you referred to the ESG, you had earlier been in the
AAA.
Now, did this, was this a subunit of it, or did the whole thing change over?
The whole thing changed.
I see. Basically, was within the same union.
Oh yes, mm-hmm. Same officers. They just decided that they know that I've forgotten something happened to that EAA downtown. We had been a part of that, and I think this ESG had been formed at some big aerospace companies back east, and for some reason, the officers in our union thought that it would represent us more accurately than this EAA downtown.
You actually switched rather than there being a merger or...
Well, they actually, it's like, for instance, a local chapter would say, now this is just a hypothetical case, because we were not, would say we no longer want to be under the AFL, we want to be under the Teamsters. Mm-hmm. It was a thing like
that. So it was actually withdrawing from the other one.
Yeah, withdrew from one and went to the other. But our local union remained the same.
We kept
the same officers.
Oh, in other words, so your local remained identical, but you changed your affiliation.
Yes, and so then we began to call ourselves the ESG instead mm-hmm. of the EAA.
And from your point of view, they were similar in terms because you had your local people who were supporting
they
you and
helped
you. They
were the same thing, the same thing. And, of course, I never got into, it didn't matter to me which one we were in. If they thought this was better, I think we had to vote on it, but if they thought it was better, I trusted mm-hmm. their judgment.
And you mentioned before that, I guess this was before you were salaried, that except for some of the women who were actually engineers, you were the only non-engineering person
I seem to be the only one that attended the union meetings, at least. And I don't. There may have been a salaried illustrator or two that was mm-hmm. under that. But I was, at least there were not very many ESG women in the ESG, except those women mm-hmm. engineers at that time.
And how did they relate to you, the women engineers?
Well, I didn't talk to them much except to say hello, speak to her at the meeting. And actually, we never really knew each mm. other. Once in a while, it was this high proctor, and she died of cancer later. But I can remember talking with her once or twice on the phone, and she was always nice about giving me information. She never said, well, what do you want to know for, you know, mm-hmm. because I was a woman. She was very nice.
Now, once you became salaried, because you mentioned the problem of the jealousies, etc., did this seem to separate you from the other women?
Not too much, because even while I found out that some of them had gone to their supervisor and department manager and wanted to be on salary, we were still friends as far as that goes. But at that time, like I said before, so many of these women live so far out in the valley, and I had my friends in Glendale. So we never got we didn't do things after work to any degree. Now, the stenographers in our section were all very nice to me, and I still ate lunch with them, you see. Mm. They were hourly, but they were nice, and they seemed to be glad that I mm-hmm. got on salary. I know a couple of them said I deserved it, and they were glad, and of course this one knew it before I did because she'd made out the paper.
So you were more likely to still associate with them than with the men who were in your same category.
Yes, except when it came to going to meetings and things like that, because, for one thing, I'd been friends with them before, mm-hmm. and there was no reason not to be anymore. However, there were meetings and things that I went to sometimes that I would go with the men, but not very many after work, except like I told you about that one where they tried to get, let's see, our I guess it was our branch manager was in charge of programs, I think it was, that year. And so he wanted a good turnout from our branch. And so our supervisor would let us go as his paying guests. In other words, he got us in because that was the rule. You know, you could bring guests because we were not eligible to belong to that. And so I did go to some of those when I would be the only woman, and usually we'd all sit at at a table together and things like that, but that wasn't frequent.
Now, did you see any of these men and say those who were married, their wives, away from work?
Once in a while at a Lockheed function, I would meet the wives. I remember at one of these bean dinners once, several of the fellows brought their wives, and I met them, but some of them didn't come, and I never met the wives of some of them. But I think I did of, I knew the wives of most of the men in my group, except this will get you. This one fellow in my group was older. And he had been on salary years before at Lockheed, and I don't know why, during the war. I guess he'd had a responsible position. Anyway, he told me once that he said, now, if, I think that was when we shared the same phone for a while. No, I had my own phone, but I know his phone was right back of me the way we sat. So I answered that, I think. I can't quite remember. I know I answered that phone sometimes. He said, now, I told my wife that you were my secretary. And I said, well, okay.
Now, did the men themselves pal around with each other?
Quite a bit, but not as much as you'd think. Although now I remember there were times that the group had they'd have a party, and most of them brought their wives. But there again, that was way out in the valley. It'd be on Saturday night, and I never went to any of those because usually I had something else to do. And I didn't, unless I had a boyfriend at the time that would fit in, I didn't care to go to any of those. I didn't want to go by myself. But now sometimes they had, I remember they had some outings, and then some of the other ladies, these dentals at clerks, and I went to some of them. And because we didn't make too much distinction, you know, most everybody's pretty friendly at Lockheed, they were. And no, I paddled around more with those stenographers.
Because I was just wondering the extent to which you were put with other women who did not have the same kind of job or do the same kind of work, because you were the only woman, whereas the men really associated with each other, and how that perhaps affected your continuing up the ladder.
Well, actually, we started out as salary grade 1, then we were made salary grade 3, and then finally they made it salary grade 5, and I got that in, what, about 74, even though I didn't have much further to go, and I didn't know whether I would make it or not, but they gave it to me. But now I know one time I did interview for... they were making a lot of contract administrators, and several fellows from our group had become that, and that was a good paying job. And there was a woman contract administrator there that during the war had done this kind of work. Well, I remember going down and interviewing, I guess he was a assistant department manager or something like that, and he told me, he said, that was no kind of a work job for me. He said, you'd have to talk to, I think they were all Navy contracts, at least that's where the openings were. He said, you'd have to talk to these men from the military, and that they drank a lot and swore a lot and all that. And I told him, that wouldn't bother me, but I didn't get, I never got it. But of course, you couldn't press to, I mean, there was nothing you could do about that. That was management. If they didn't want you in it, that was before affirmative action.
But there was basically nowhere for you to go except move up the salary scale or move out into management.
Management. Well, now, one time, I was offered a job over in engineering on those engineering manuals, but I guess I don't know if he was lead man then or a supervisor. I think he was one of these salary lead men in engineering. But I mean, they made good money. That would have been a good job. But he offered me and one of the fellows in my group that. But I decided I'd just stick with where I was. I don't know. I guess there wouldn't have been that much difference in pay. And so, and then later, there were some opportunities. But like I told you, by that time, I was salary grade 5. And I had so few years to go. I thought, I'm comfortable with this job. Maybe I lost my ambition those last 2 years.
backtracking a little bit, Frieda, I don't recall if we got the whole story of you being told not to use your name. Could you go over that again?
Well, see, we had to put out certain reports. And I remember that this JC, the section supervisor, just told me to always be sure and sign my initials. Because he said, I'm not sure that he told me. I think he told the other supervisor to tell me not to use my name because he said they didn't want people to know I was a woman or they wouldn't have confidence in my reports. And while some of the women, salaried women, listed in the Lockheed telephone book I have out there, used their names, some of them didn't, but I never was allowed to be listed except under my initials. But of course, about that time, because of IBM, they were putting our checks begin to come with initials. Mm-hmm. So I didn't object, and actually, I didn't care.
Mm-hmm.
The main thing, as long as I was doing the work and getting the money, I just decided that I couldn't, wouldn't make a fuss about it. So I never made a fuss about that.
Now, it sounds like when you went to interview about the contract grants position, was that the only occasion that you tried to move out of?
I may have tried one other time, but that's the one I remember. And so I didn't get it, and it seemed like about that time I got another raise. One thing I cannot complain about until the very last year I was there, I always got, well, not right at first, but soon after, I always got as much as any of the fellows in that same classification. And I guess if you get paid the same as they do, and if they don't harass you, even if you think you aren't getting the opportunities that some of the fellows get, you don't have anything, any cause to complain. And I didn't object to that being called lead man or anything like that. And really, I think, personally, I think women are foolish to make such a big to-do about that. Now, I think that has hurt the women's movement more than it has helped. This insisting that it must be person instead of man. I don't know. Of course, I'm of a different generation than some of those ladies, and maybe that's right. But I didn't object. Mm-hmm. Like chairman of this business of chairperson, that just seems like an awkward word to me. So anytime I have to use it, I still say chairman. Mm-hmm. I don't object to that.
Now, did you, maybe I should backtrack and ask you about buying your house occurred right about the time you became salaried. Had you already decided to buy your house at that point, or was that after you had become salaried?
I had already decided and bought the house in let's see, in September, before I was put on salary in March. And because I began to figure out that as a lead person, the most they could do was take off my lead pay. And by then, Lockheed had quite a few contracts, and I had enough seniority that I, although under the ESG, it was not all based on seniority. We had these ESG ratings, which the fellows called the popularity contest. We were rated all in the world, all were we rated on. I think I still have one of those old ones around here that they used to give us so much points. Oh, one of them was whether we could work independently. In other words, did we have to continually run to the boss and ask questions? And so I always got good on that. And I think we were rated on our attitude. And I saw to it that that was another reason I didn't want to ever squawk about anything that wasn't important. And then how much work we turned out and the quantity and quality and that kind of thing. We were rated on that. So, but then we got so many points for seniority. So by that time, I could see that Lockheed would practically have to go out of business before I would be laid off. So I went ahead and bought the house. Mm-hmm. However, if I'd known I was going to be on put on salary, I might have bought a more expensive house at that time. But later, I sold that house and bought here. And for one person alone, I just don't care for too big a house anyway. I mean, it's ridiculous to have one of these great big houses with a big family room and three bedrooms and three baths and all that. If I do have two bedrooms and two baths here. And for one person alone, I just thought that was ridiculous. So when I bought this house over here, part of the reason I bought it was I wanted to be on this side of Glendale. And I kind of wanted to stay in Glendale by then because I had a lot of friends in Glendale. And this was close to Burbank. And by living here, I didn't have to take the freeway to work. So those last years I worked, I didn't have all that harrowing experience of the cars.
When did you, but you bought the other house in 57?
56. I bought it in the fall of 56, and then I was put on salary in 56.
So by that time, it was really clear you were locking your future into.
Oh, yes.
Lockheed felt secure about it.
Yes, I had, I was pretty sure I was going to stay on Lockheed, and I thought, well, profit is going up all the time, even if I ever do anything else. You know, I better buy a house now.
Now, tell me, with this system of points, it seems like you might again have faced being passed over, maybe not so much now you were salaried, but maybe moving up a grade or moving into management positions. Did you experience that?
And not because of the points. I always got good points. But you see, they could, they didn't have to make you management if they didn't want to. And actually, we had so few management employees right in that, and some of them had so much more seniority and really had so much more good experience that it would have had to been a lot of expansion. Well, by the time they expanded, then there were some younger fellows that were very capable that they wanted to put on these new programs. And I could understand that because some of those programs, you see, have outlasted my retirement. So I, they could have given me a management position doing something else, but there were other people that deserved to be promoted, and I wasn't doing too badly, and I didn't mind being on ESG in a way that. That suited me just as well as being management.
Now, did how did your own background differ, or how is it similar to the other people working in these ESG classifications? Because you had no you had come up through the ranks, in effect, had learned it all by working in various departments. Did these people come in with other training and skills, or did they move up the same way you had?
Well, they were all men, except one woman later, but this was a few years later. She came out of the shop, and they let her come in. And they hired the men in, and they would often hire men at stores, or once in a while we'd get one from the shop. Now, this one fellow that I said was so valuable, he had had mechanical drawing in high school, and also his father had been a cabinet maker, and he was very good, and he had been wounded in the war, so he was kind of lame. But some of those fellows, generally, years ago, men were more mechanically minded, if you, that's a term they used. I mean, most of them had worked on cars. Then several of them had come from the service. And some of them had a pretty good responsible jobs in the service, so they came in. But there was sometimes they didn't. I don't know. Some of them didn't catch on too well either. There were some that were very good, and there were some of them that were mediocre, and there were some that we were glad if they found. It's awfully hard to prove in that kind of work that a person can't do the job. But they did finally have a test, and they had to be able to pass this blueprint test. That was until they started this affirmative action. And then they tried to, didn't like the fact that I think then, it, more than the women, it was a card that said they shouldn't have that kind of a test, but my boss held firm, and higher up did back him up, that if the person couldn't read blueprints, he couldn't do the job. And so they let them keep the blueprint test, and they still had that when I left. Now, what has happened since, I don't know, I've never asked about. But they did have a test for that before they could come in, because they said they couldn't check illustrations if they couldn't read a blueprint.
Let me change this.